Well, today we continue our series through the book of Colossians entitled Jesus Over Everything. And specifically today, I've entitled today's message Instructions for Living. Instructions for Living. We're in Colossians chapter 3. We're at the end of this chapter. In fact, we'll go into chapter 4, verse 1. And in this passage, the Apostle Paul is going to talk about marriage, family, parenting, vocational life. I mean, this is the grind, isn't it? This is daily life. By the way, is that where our Christian life is most expressed? Come on, church. Is that where we see it most expressed, is in our daily life? The way we treat one another, the way we talk to one another, the way we do what we do, the way we carry ourselves at work and in the community. Yeah, that's our testimony, isn't it? That is what is really indicative of what we believe about Jesus and how much we love Him. And again, we're not talking about sinless perfection, but we are talking about that new direction of life. Now I have this desire to know Him and make Him known. And so today, instructions for living. If you want to know how to properly use or maintain your vehicle, what have you got to look at? What have you got to read or take a glance at? The manual, right? The manual. And the check engine light. Anybody got a check engine light on right now? Come on now. I have a few of you, right? And isn't that interesting? That check engine light's on, and we just let that sucker keep going, right? I don't get the manual out or take it to a mechanic right away to try to figure out what's wrong with it. Man, it's sad today. You can't even hardly work on a vehicle for all the technology on it, right? How many guys I got in the room used to change your own oil and do all your stuff? And now it's like, man, I can't figure this out, right? All this new technology in these vehicles. So I got to have the manual. I have to get that thing out so that I understand how to properly use and maintain this vehicle. If I want to know how to properly use it and maintain it, then I need to go back to the manufacturer's instructions for that vehicle. Well, the Bible, this is the manufacturer's manual, isn't it? Come on, church, isn't that right? This is God's original design for us. The gospel, the word of God, cover to cover. This is God's manual for us. It answers the biggest questions of life. And as we're going to see today, man, there are incredible, relevant instructions in it for how to live life in a way that honors God, in a way that brings peace and joy into my life. But sadly, in this culture, when you say, hey, this is God's word, this is the manufacturer's manual, a whole lot of people look at it like this, don't they? The Bible, what is that? I don't need that. Man, it's just archaic, old, outdated. You know, that doesn't fit our culture today. The Bible, I mean, that's something from yesteryear. That's something for, like, you know, my parents or grandparents or generations years ago to look at, especially when it comes to marriage and parenting and your job and your daily life. I mean, it's so much different today. So the Bible really doesn't bear any, direction for us or give us instructions worth listening to. I mean, we've evolved, we've changed. I mean, we're so much different today. Well, the fact that our culture has changed so much means that we need the Bible even more than we ever have. Come on, somebody, isn't that right? We're going to read this passage today, and there are people even who claim the name of Christ who say these instructions for husbands and wives and children and work life, I mean, that was written for the culture at that time, right? Well, I've got a big problem with that because the Bible says our God is immutable. He's unchanging. He's eternal. He does not bow to culture. And so the Word of God was not meant to address a specific culture of a specific day. It was meant to instill culture for every day. Come on, somebody. The Word of God is absolutely relevant for today. In fact, I would argue it's even more relevant than it's ever been in these last days before Jesus comes again. And so what we're looking at today are these instructions. Hey, how's your marriage? How are your kids? Single folks in the room, how are the relationships around you? Are you honoring God in those relationships? What about your vocational life? Are you known as a child of God in the workplace? Do people see this in us? Yeah, we're going to make mistakes along the way. But as a general pattern of life, do people know that I love God in my workplace? Do they know, young people in my school, that I love God? Yes, that starts with being a good moral person, but it also expands to words of testimony and speaking of Jesus and inviting others to know Him. And so it's more than just being a good person, isn't it? It's God's stuff. It's supernatural stuff. And so as we look at this together, I would invite all of us today just to open our hearts and our minds to what God's Word says to us. Because this culture will lie to you, is lying to you. The devil's a liar. This world will put out all kinds of stuff telling you this is where you'll find joy. This is how you find happiness. And it's not true at all. If we want to know where true joy lies and where true happiness lies, ultimately it's in the manufacturer's manual, isn't it? The Bible. So let's turn there together. Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse number 18. If you don't have your Bible, the verses are on the screen where you can read along with us from there. Colossians chapter 3, verse 18, and we're going to read through chapter 4, verse 1. It says there in verse number 18, wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. So just right out of the gate, let's just go ahead and just hair lip the devil today, baby. I mean, let's just go ahead and dive right into culture, okay? Wives, submit. Now, ladies, don't throw any tomatoes at me yet today. Let's find out what this means. By the way, he's going to go on to use the word obey, right? It's not obedience. It's not subservience, right? This is mutual submission and support of one another. And so he's talking about roles within the body. Gospel headship is a real thing. Is Jesus Lord over all creation? Is he head of the church? Yes. And so he has roles within the family also. It goes back to lordship. If you have a problem with headship, you got a problem with lordship. And I don't say that to condemn us or discourage us today. But let's understand what this means. Submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Verse 2, or next verse, I should say, verse 19. Husbands, love your wives and don't be harsh with them. So love includes submission and service and sacrifice also. And verse number 20, kiddos in the room today. So children, obey mom and dad. And every parent said, oh, come on, parents today and grandparents. Listen, kids, obey. What? In everything. So what a great encouragement for parents today, right? Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord, right? Whether mom and dad are honoring God or not, it pleases God for us to obey parents. And fathers, verse 21, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. And bond servants, verse 22, bond servants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters. Not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. There's that principle for vocational life also. Instructions for living. Verse 24, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. Whether you get promoted or you are prosperous in your job or not, if you are doing it for the Lord, God's going to reward you. If you're doing it with the right attitude, submissive to authority and lifting up Jesus in the way you do what you do, God's going to reward you in that. So look first to that eternal reward. And for the wrongdoer, verse 25, for the person who's wrong, they will be paid back for the wrong that they've done. And there is no partiality with God, is there? Chapter 4, verse 1, masters, treat your bondservants justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Father God, speak to us today. Destroy the lies of culture that have made their way into our hearts and our minds, into our relationships, our marriages, our parenting, our job life. Father, this life is not about me. It's not about my fulfillment. It's about your glory and it's about others first. So teach us today, God. Teach us. Grow us in you. Grow your church and grow your kingdom today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In this passage, we have instructions for living. This is the daily grind, isn't it? Marriage, parenting, relationships, vocational life. This is day in, day out life, where our Christian life is most clearly expressed. It's not about who we are on Sunday. It's about who we are Monday through Saturday, isn't it? And on Sunday, we should be bringing our worship, coming in, celebrating all that God's done in us throughout the week, and also confessing, right? Confessing sin before the Lord and getting our heart right for things that have not gone right throughout the week. And so in this passage, we see, first of all, the pyramid. I call it a pyramid for a strong society. A pyramid for a strong society. And that's what I want to build our entire message around, the entire message around today. This idea of the basic foundation of a society. The basic foundation of a society is the home, isn't it? It starts there. And he gives us this picture of how to have a strong society, but also how to have a strong church. And this pyramid, it starts with, at the bottom, husbands, love. That's the foundation, isn't it? Husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the church. Lead your family in the ways of God. So it starts, guys, with us. It starts with us showing that Christ-like love in the home. Secondly, wives, submit. Now, we're going to talk about what that means today, okay? So don't let the lies of this culture throw all kinds of stuff in your heart and your mind about that, ladies in the room. So we're going to talk about what that means today. So husbands, love. Wives, submit. Thirdly, children, what? Children, obey. And so obedience of children, those authority structures that start within the home, it moves to that. And it's essential for a strong society. And then at the top of the pyramid, if you will, is this idea of workers working, being submissive in work, authority. Authority is a big deal in this passage, isn't it? Submitting to authority. We need a revival of submission to authority in our culture, don't we? One of the reasons that we're having so much brokenness in our culture, and I would add even within the church, is because we have lost that sense of God-given authority. If you think about it this way, for the atheist or the agnostic, for the man who believes he doesn't answer to ultimate authority, he's not going to care about man's authority either, will he? He may do things to submit to man's authority for pragmatic reasons. Well, maybe I'll get promoted, or maybe I'll make more money in this job, or, you know, maybe that'll just help, you know, smooth things out. But ultimately, a person that doesn't surrender to God's authority doesn't really care about man's authority. It all starts, Jesus is the cornerstone of the pyramid, isn't he, church? It's all about faith in Jesus and putting God first. And so if we want to have a strong church, ultimately, if we want our society to be strengthened, this is the maker's, the manufacturer's manual. This is the manufacturer's design. And all of this was in place before the fall, wasn't it? Adam created first, then Eve. And he said, be fruitful and multiply. They had children. And all of this stuff before, right, before the fall. And so, too, this is God's original design. So we got to go back to that. So let's build on that. First of all, he says here at the bottom of the pyramid, if you will, the foundation in the home and in society is loving husbands. Husbands, love. He says, love here. He gives instruction, Paul does here, first to the wives. But based on the nature of the instruction, it begs the question, doesn't it? Men, are you listening? It begs the question, am I a husband worth respecting? So let's just start right there today. Ultimately, men, listen to me. Are we men that are carrying ourselves in a respectful, responsible way? That's a searching, convicting question. And I know it is for me as much as it is for you. Am I living my life in such a way that I am a person worthy of someone else's respect? The problem in today's culture is you've got a whole lot of teenage boys running around masquerading as grown men. A whole lot of boys who want to live for their own individual fulfillment and chase their own dreams and their own desires and expect everyone else to meet their demands and their expectations. And listen to me, that's not a man. Are you listening, guys? That's a little boy. That's what little boys do. Make demands over their wives and their children and others around them, that they meet all their expectations and that they live their life for their personal fulfillment. That's not what God calls us to. And by the way, that may be a little hard this morning, but let me challenge you. Ultimately, you're missing out on the joy of life. The greatest joy there is in celebrating the gift of the wife that God gave you, and celebrating your children and growing them up and discipling them in the ways of God, and being a submissive worker in the workplace and saying, God, you're going to reward me there. That's where the joy is found. So much, come on, folks. So much strife and contention and division and brokenness comes when we step outside of that, doesn't it, men? And so love, that word in the original language here comes from the root word agape. You ever heard that word before if you've been in the church very long? Agape, love, agape in the Greek. And what's so significant about that word is that word was rarely, if ever, used to describe love before Christianity became a thing. And literally the people of the culture around these Christians there around Israel and then up into Asia Minor and these places where the New Testament church started, when they saw this radical love, a love that broke through national barriers and racial barriers and socioeconomic barriers and all this stuff that had always divided mankind, even religious barriers. When people saw how it was destroying and breaking down all these barriers and all these people from all these different walks of life and races and nationalities and socioeconomic levels are coming together in this loving family called the church, they had to come up with a new word to describe it because it was so radically different. So they came up with this word, or began to use it, this word agape, to describe Christian love. Right before this, the Apostle Paul, if you remember last week, he told us to put on, and he explains what agape love is. Compassion, kindness, humility, meekness. Guys, are you listening? These sound like feminine characteristics in our culture, if you get honest about it, right? Compassion and kindness and humility. Really? Meekness, man, you're not supposed to be meek in this culture, right? Under control, power under control. No, I'm supposed to just be brash and express myself and stand up for myself. No, listen, there's one who's already stood for us. In fact, he died for us and rose from the dead. And man, my identity's in him. And I've got to find my identity there. And so meekness, patience. So agape love. In other words, the love, guys, are you listening? We're not to express a cultural definition of love to our families. We are to express a Christ-like love, supernatural love. And so that's where the home begins, is with the love of the husband and of the father. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, that famous verse where it talks about how we're to love. Men, if you're listening, men, say amen. Come on, guys. Okay. Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives as who? Come on now, let's say it again. As who? Christ. As he loved the church and did what? Gave himself up. Come on, guys. Gave himself up. When was the last time you gave something up for your family? When was the last time you gave up a hobby, or you gave up that money you're saving for that boat, or you gave up your own comfort, or man, I just want to sit on the couch a little while, or I'm going to do my own thing? When was the last time you gave up something for your family? But that's the mark of what it means to be a godly man, a godly husband, a godly father, is when I'm willing to give all these things up. I'm willing to sacrifice, right? A whole lot of men out there chasing golf balls and chasing bucks. I got any hunters in the room? Come on, guys. Chasing deer, chasing ducks, and you mean you name it. We're getting into that time of the year too, aren't we? There's nothing wrong with hunting or fishing or playing golf or hanging out with your buddies, unless your hobby keeps you from being hubby. And when your hobby keeps you from being hubby, it's a problem. In our home, listen, which we got five children that run a church. Can I get an amen? Come on, somebody. So we have five children, we run a church. So like literally, I'll go to Crystal, I'll go to my wife, well, she'll be here at 11 o'clock service, but I go to my wife and I say, Crystal, hey, I want to go fishing. I got any fishermen in the room? I like to fish. Come on now. And so this is our thing. Like, hey, I want to go fishing. It looks like 6 weeks from now. Come on, guys. It looks like 6 weeks from now, we're going to have a break right here. And the kids are going to have a break from ball and school and stuff. And so if the weather's right at that time, 6 weeks from now, are you okay? Come on, guys. I'm giving her the trump card, by the way. But this is just how you got to do it. Why are you doing that? Why don't you just say, hey, I'm going fishing tomorrow? Well, number one, I got a church to lead. There's responsibility there. I got people to take care of. I got a family that needs my love and my attention. All of that comes first. And listen to me, I'm no hero, and neither is my wife today. We're in the middle of this journey with you. And we talk about marriage and parenting and all this stuff. We fuss and fight just like you do. Our kids make bad decisions sometimes just like yours do. That's just life. But I can tell you some things we've learned along the way, either by good decisions or bad, and based on what God's Word says. And so I'm like, look, I got stuff to do. I got people to take care of. I got a family to lead and to love on, man. I don't want to miss a second with my kids. They're going to be gone before you know it. I don't want to miss a second with my wife, right? Whatever it takes, man. We ordered out and had an at-home date Friday night. How many of you like an at-home date? Come on now. All the kids were gone. Get out of my house in Jesus' name. I need a date up in here. Go find a friend or something, you know. And then my mom said, let me have Kaysen. And, you know, Anderson's gone and they're out of here. And I'm like, yes, date time, right? So we went and we got food. We didn't want to fight crowds. We went and got food and we stayed home and it was glorious. Glorious time together. And that, man, that comes first. That's the foundation. Guys, men in the room, listen to me. Don't act like little boys. Don't run around like some teenagers chasing all this junk of the world. And listen, put your family first. Put your kids first, your wife first. That's where it starts. Husband's love. What does agape love do? You listening? Agape love forgives. It forgives. It's not resentful. It's not bitter. Right? Agape love sacrifices. Hey, whatever is best for you. I want to see my wife succeed. I want to see her encouraged. Hey, baby, what's your dream? What's your passion? What's your heart? Same thing with my kids, right? Man, what's your passion? What's your heart? What's God calling you to? It's not my plan for your life. It's God's plan. So, man, how can I encourage you in that? Starts right there, right? Agape love bathes kids and puts them in the bed. Come on, guys. By the way, he talks about parenting here. Fathers, do not provoke your children. Isn't that interesting? He talks about parenting and he goes to the guys. Come on, men. And so what does agape love do? Man, it's bathing kids, putting them in the bed. It's cooking, it's cleaning, it's whatever needs to be done around the house. But whatever I got to do, man, I'm stepping into this thing. That's agape love. And I don't always do that, just like you don't always do that, men. But I have to come back to that and say, God, forgive me for my selfish attitude, man. I can't check out at home. I can't expend my entire life and my energy in such a way throughout my vocation and life and in other places such that when I come home, I got nothing to give my family. You got to find the balance. You got to get with Jesus and be filled with His Spirit. And you got to find that balance emotionally, energy-wise, all that stuff. And military guys in the room, listen, that's hard, especially in your world. I get it, man. I understand that can be hard for you. But get with Jesus. Start with the Lord in prayer every morning and find a way, right? Find a way. Find other Christian soldiers who encourage you in this, where y'all can encourage one another in this. So husbands, listen, the reason for the breakdown in our culture has a whole lot to do with all of the little teenage boys running around masquerading as men. Are you listening this morning? Would to God that it would start with us, that we would exemplify Christ in that. Love, husbands, love. That's number one. Number two, wives, submit. Wives, the second rung, if you will, level on the pyramid, if you will, that foundation of love in the home. Secondly, it's wives. Submit. Submission, listen closely, ladies, does not mean subservience. He used the word obey here to talk about kids and to talk about in the workplace. And we'll get more to that in just a moment. I know he used the word slaves. I know he used the word masters. We'll talk about what that means in just a minute. But for our context, he used the word obey there in two other situations. Submission is not obedience. It's subservience, right? Or not subservience, excuse me. It's not subservience and it's not mere obedience or subservience. It is surrender to Jesus, ultimately serving the mission of God together. The word in the original language carries the idea of placing yourself under someone higher ranking than you. It's a military term. And so coming under that, submission ultimately is trusting your husband. And more importantly, trusting God to work through him to lead your family. One of the strongest examples, listen closely, one of the strongest examples, I would argue the strongest, in my opinion, example of Christ in the home is a wife who submits to her husband. Because what did Jesus do to the will of the Father before the will of the Father when it came to the cross? He submitted, didn't he? It's such a beautiful picture, ladies, of strength, incredible strength. To say, God, you have set it up this way. My husband may be a goober right now. Come on, ladies, can I get a witness today being a goober? Come on now. He may be acting like an absolute goober right now, but God, I'm going to trust. Ultimately, it's submission to Jesus, isn't it? It's just saying, God, you're in control. You're going to work in his heart. You know, what if he doesn't obey God? Well, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 says this, likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands so that even if they don't obey. Isn't that interesting? Guys, it never says that about wives in the Bible, by the way. That ought to encourage you. It never says in the Bible, like, guys, love your wives, you know, if they disobey. It doesn't say that. Ladies, it says that about the husband. And it says, listen, be subject to him so that even if they don't obey, they may be won without a word. So not by our words, but by our actions and prayer, right? May be won without a word by the conduct of their wives. It doesn't mean you don't talk through issues. It doesn't mean that you're not going to address conflict or disagreements in the home. You are. Again, this is not subservience. This is not blind obedience. This is not being enamored with his sinful ego. I'm not telling you that. But what God is saying here, he's saying, I've put some roles together in the home, and this is my original design. So trust in me. One of the greatest examples of strength in the home is watching a wife be submissive to a husband, even who may be going down the wrong path, and watching God use that to draw him to himself, to the Lord. And so what a beautiful picture. Ultimately in the home, let me give you a picture. Guys, what's our job in the home? You ready? Purpose and values. For the men in the home, our job is to set the purpose and the values. This is who we are, and this is what we do and don't do in this house. Can I get a witness from the guys today? Come on. Right? This is who we are, and this is what we do and we don't do. So that's dad's job. Mom, what's your job? To set the tone of the home. It's the difference between, you think about it like this, a thermostat and a thermometer. You ever heard this illustration before? It's out there. It's not new with me. Thermostat and a thermometer. So a thermometer does what? Reads the temperature of the room and just reacts to it and says, here's what it is and I'm in. What does a thermostat do? Well, a thermostat reads the temperature of the room and then controls or sets the temperature. And so ladies, you set the tone of the home. Set the tone of the home in a lot of ways. So in other words, be a thermostat, not a thermometer. If it's hot in the house and then it's heated up and there's disagreement and there's problems, cool it down with Jesus. And with a controlled attitude, right? So cool it down. If it's cold and distant in the home, then bring some warmth. Some warmth. Some love. Some words of affirmation. Step into that. And so that's the encouragement for wives here. Ladies, ultimately, listen, what a beautiful picture of strength. When even if your husband's disobeying God, you are showing him respect. Ultimately, what is it that men, that God made men to long for? Respect. What is it that God created women? By the way, the genders are different. Come on, somebody today. They are different. We were made in God's image. The greatest joy there is when we lean into who we are full of Jesus. Don't be something or someone else. And so, ladies, what did God, part of his created design, what are ladies longing for? Well, it's love, isn't it? It's safety, it's security, it's encouragement, kindness. That's how God made you. That's not archaic, it's not old school, it's everyday school. It's God's word, it's his truth to us, his eternal, timeless word. And so husbands love. Secondly, wives submit. Thirdly, every parent's ready to take a lap now, right? Children, obey in Jesus' name. Children, obey mom and dad, right? Obey in everything. By the way, there's some. This is a challenge to parents too, by the way, because he goes on to say, fathers, don't provoke your children. Paul commanded children to obey. The word obey is obviously stronger than submit. Submit speaks of a mutuality. Conversation and listening and loving and talking together. Obedience is mama and I had a conversation and here's what you're going to do. Come on now, right? A little tongue in cheek there. But ultimately, it means obey. It's different. It's much stronger than submit. The text reinforces this by the use of the phrase in everything. And so the measure of a child's obedience, kids, listen closely, is all things. The measure is in everything. Whatever mom and dad tell you to do, just do it. And the motive is what? To please the Lord. You can know that even if you question mom and dad's motives, if your motive is right, God will reward you in that. That's submission to authority. Ephesians chapter 6 speaks to this, doesn't it? Verses 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It's just the right thing to do. It's the way God designed it. Honor your father and your mother, right? Straight from the Ten Commandments. The first commandment with a promise. That it may go well with you. Kiddos, there is a great blessing to obeying mom and dad. The family that lives in an atmosphere of love and truth that reads, listen parents, that reads the Word of God together, studies, prays together, will have an easier time discovering God's will and pleasing the Lord together. So what tone are we setting as parents? And so here he talks about this. A great deal is being said about the rights of children in today's day and time, isn't it? And so children do have rights. You ready? Number one, children have a right to be born. Right? God knew us in the womb before we were ever made. Psalm 139 says that he fearfully and wonderfully made us, knit us together in our mother's womb. So children have a right to be born, but also children have a right to a loving and secure and safe home environment. And that's what God calls us to. But also children have responsibilities. Their foremost responsibility is to obey. With these rights come great responsibilities. And so authority, that's what this is about. A child, listen to me, a child who does not learn to obey his parents, especially early on in his or her life, is not likely to grow up obeying any authority. Isn't that right? We need a revival of authority in our culture, don't we? A revival of respect for authority. He will defy his teachers, the police, his employers, and anyone else who tries to exercise authority over him. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, what does it say? He will not depart from it. Training, discipline, admonition in the Lord. For the most part, hang on to your seat, parents. Children do not create problems, they reveal them. So whenever I see a lot of brokenness in one of my kids, especially younger, I have to go look in the mirror with God for a minute. Come on, parents. Isn't that right? That's where he goes with this. He says, fathers, do not provoke your children. Now, this is interesting. The word provoke here means don't embitter them. Don't build resentment into them. And so the Bible is clear that in the home, especially very early on, we are to set very clear boundaries in the home. What is right, what is wrong, and what the consequences are for when we deliberately disobey these rules in our home. But keep in mind when it comes to the gospel, what is it that draws us to Jesus? Well, the law of God shows us our need, but it is the love of God that draws us to repentance. Are our kids under attack in today's day and time? Yeah. Are they under attack? Come on, church. Yeah. And so we work through this in our house because obviously, man, we want our kids to obey God. And we want to be an example in that. Now, we're not telling them they ought to do that because I'm a preacher. We're telling them they ought to do that because Jesus is Lord. Come on, somebody. It's not about who I am. It's about who God is. But we have to be careful. My wife and I in our home, we talk through this all the time. This is a constant battle for us. And those of you that are in the middle of parenting, this is for you too, I'm sure. But this battle of the balance between the boundaries and the blessings, the boundaries and the love, right? The law and the love. But what we realize is, and what we're, and y'all could help us with this. I'd love to hear your, what you've walked through. Parents whose kids are grown and you've seen them be successful and live for God. Man, I'd love to hear from you too. So this, what we found is in today's society, our kids are under such attack that home has got to be a safe, encouraging place. And that's what he talks about here. He says, don't discourage them. Don't steal their drive for life. Don't steal that passion in them. Quit trying to take away their personality or their individualism. I made them a certain way. It's like pulling out the bumper lanes at the bowling alley, right? Let the ball roll, man. Just pull the bumper lanes out. Let it roll a little bit. And that's what we're learning, is showing that love in our home. Think about this. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. Men, listen closely. It says there, perfect love casts out what? Fear. You ever heard that before? Perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment. And Jesus already took our punishment on the cross. Discipline and training is a different word than punishment. It's guidance, it's conversation. Yes, there are consequences when you deliberately disobey, but there's guidance here, there's conversation. We're interacting, and I'm hearing what God's doing in your life, and we're having a discussion about that. So ultimately, perfect love casts out fear. If you want fearless, if we want fearless children, they have to experience love in our homes. And dads, you listening? The parenting starts with us. Shame on us if we come home after work, we sit down, turn on the ball game, and kick back and let mama, hello, do all the kid work. Fathers, do not provoke your children. So it starts with us. Are we bringing love into the home? Husbands love, wives submit, children obey, and then lastly, top of the pyramid, if you will, workers work. Workers work, and I'm almost done, so listen close. When you read a passage like this, these are passages that some people in our society go to, and they say, look at there, the Bible condones slavery. You ever heard people say that? Well, the Bible condones slavery, even promotes it, because it talks about how slaves ought to obey their masters. Two things. You got to understand, number one, the majority of slavery and bond service that is spoken of, especially in the New Testament, is debtor slavery. It's somebody who owed somebody else a debt and couldn't pay it off, so then they went to work for them to pay off that debt. Okay, that's number one. But number two, listen to me, friend. The Bible never condones chattel slavery as we know it in American history. Never. In fact, it dispels it, doesn't it? Think about what the gospel teaches. What did Jesus say he came to do? Preach the gospel to the poor, bind up the brokenhearted, set the captives free. Scripture says that we are slaves to sin, but Jesus came and he freed us from that. That he took the punishment we deserve on the cross, rose from the dead, and when we trust in him, now we're freed from slavery. And the people of Israel, the Old Testament, God didn't leave them in Egypt. He got them out. I mean, it's all throughout the Bible. There's nothing that condones chattel slavery. And anybody who takes the Bible and tries to condone slavery is misinformed and misunderstands the Word of God. Hello. So what's it talking about here? Well, I think there are principles, and most people apply it. Bible scholars, pastors have applied this to our work life. And I think that very much applies because of verse 24, right? Whatever you do, do your work heartily as unto the Lord. And that word heartily means intrinsically. So in other words, out of the call of God on my life and the passion of God in my heart. And so in the workplace, God calls us to this place of submissive but yet passionate production in the workplace. Not just doing things so that others will be impressed and maybe I'll get that promotion, or putting others down so that I'll be lifted up. I mean, none of that stuff is honoring to the Lord. Ultimately, we are to work in the workplace with our focus on heaven, saying, God, today I am exhibiting my faith in you and my trust in you by the way I treat those around me, by the way I do what I do it with excellence and produce. And ultimately, that's the life God calls us to. And the New Testament says it like this. The Apostle Paul in another place in the New Testament says, hey, live a humble and quiet life with all godliness and all dignity. You ever heard that verse before? And that's the life that God calls us to. Some of you right now in your job and you're pushing back against a supervisor or speaking critical negative words about your boss or other coworkers. There's nothing about that that honors God, is it? Nothing about that that honors God. It's when we continue to do our job with great passion in our heart, knowing that I'm going to answer to God and God's put me in this place at this time for whatever reason. It's when we do it for Him, no matter how my boss acts, no matter how my coworkers act. It's when I do it for the Lord and for Him alone that I begin to impact others for the gospel. And are you listening? And I find joy and peace in my heart. Whether I get paid a bunch or not, whether I get the promotion or not, whether or not I'm in the political thing or not, I get it, right, in life. It's not about that. It's ultimately about Jesus, and it's about His reward and His inheritance. In our society, would things be a whole lot different if we had strong homes and submissive, unified workplaces? Would it make a big difference? Yeah. What about in the church? What about you today? Today's a time for us to just get real with God. He already knows everything about us in our hearts, our minds, our lives. He knows the way right now, men, that you're treating your wife, the way you're talking to your wife and your kids, the way that you're doing your job or not doing your job. He knows. And so let's not sugarcoat it today, man. Let's get before God and just say, God, forgive me for this, man. I repent of these attitudes and actions not honoring to you, and I'm thankful for your grace. His love draws us in. Father, I'm grateful for your grace and your forgiveness. And so today's a new day, man. This week is a new week. I'm going to honor you. I'm going to depend upon you. I'm going to show love in my home. I'm going to quit whining about my boss and complaining about my coworkers. And I'm going to get in here and I'm going to do my job, man. I'm going to love on them. I'm going to help them do their job. Because that's what Jesus would do. Ladies in the home, ladies, listen, you can't change him by your words unless they're words of prayer to the Lord. Doesn't mean you're not going to talk about stuff in the home, but what it does mean is there's respect there. That's ultimately the way God wired your husband. When you show respect, he'll begin to change. And when you lift that in prayer, God will use it. Submission. It's not subservience. It's showing respect and it's trusting in God. It's an incredible picture of strength. And children in the room, are you obeying mom and dad? Listen today, children, let's confess our sin, right? Say, God, forgive me for being disobedient or having a bad attitude. There's so much joy and protection and safety in just trusting mom and dad and doing what they say.